Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog. This is Preview Spotlight number 132 for the October 2018 previews. Now, in this episode, we're going to be changing the format a bit, and instead of doing the clips about specific issues in this month's previews, we're going to be answering the question of what comics should you be reading and why. Now, each listener who sent in clips interpreted this question a little bit differently, which is part of the point. There are a lot of different ways you can come at reading comics and finding comics that you might like, and there are tons of titles being published, and the number of titles and which titles they are rotates frequently. So even if you found something you were really enjoying 6 months ago, it may not still be coming out. So we had an open submission policy for this episode, like we do every month, and while the question was a little different, the idea is the same, helping you find items you might enjoy. Now, I encourage people to send in clips as often as they can. Normally, it's about a specific item in the month's previews. You mention the page number, the publisher, the title and issue number of the item, and why you think people should check it out. Here, what we're doing is just what titles should you be reading versus specific issues, because sometimes it's hard to find that good jumping on point. Now, hopefully these suggestions will help you find something you'd like to read. These episodes of the Preview Spotlight that we've been doing for 10 years now, 11 now that I do the math in my head, 11 years now, they only work if you guys send in clips. And I really can't stress that enough. Don't be intimidated by it. It's not hard to do. All you've got to do is take your cell phone. All of them have a free recording app that's available. Download the one of your choice for whichever phone you've got. Record a clip that's, 30 seconds a minute of, some item you like and why, and then just email it to me. There's instructions on the forum. It's not hard. Don't be intimidated by it. It's actually a lot of fun, and it's a great way to share your love of comics, to give back to the community, to support the creators you love, and just help boost sales of comics in general, and help people find something they'll enjoy reading. So like I said, this time the question is, what comics should you be reading and why? So let's see what the answers are.
This is Todd Cassell from Phoenix, Arizona, with my October pick. What comic book series do I think people should be reading today? Well, that series is Lazarus by Greg Rucka, art by Michael Lark. The first reason is because I want this comic book series to keep going, and I'm worried that it's just not going to make it because of the circulation. Lazarus has just gone into a period of a break before it turns into a quarterly comic. It's going to be a large size quarterly comic. Hopefully it'll last that way, but I've been concerned about Lazarus making it for a very long time. It's been 28 issues, and it is a really, really good book. Again, Greg Rucka, most of you have heard of him. He's a really good writer, good novelist as well. But Michael Lark, he is bringing the best artwork of his life to this book. Issue 27 and 28, the last two issues, which are sort of an interlude. It's actually a two-part story called Prelude, prelude to whatever's going to come next when it does return. But issue 27 and 28 is probably, 27 especially, is the most beautiful book I've seen in years. Just the artwork, the coloring, coloring by Santi Arcus. It's just exquisite. I mean, these two issues, 27 is, a guy being fished out of the water in a fishing town and being brought back to good health. And in the meantime, it's family talking and townspeople talking. And it's just talking, and it's a great story. And then 28 leads to why it's called Prelude. But again, these two books are just gorgeous. I just think this artwork is fantastic, and I'll hold it up to any artwork in comic books today. But what else do I like about Lazarus? It's an intriguing story. I mean, this is a world building story. It's about the world is controlled by families now. It sounds kind of like the mob, but it's wealthy families. Everyone else, they're just the people who work for the families as slaves. They're actually called the waste. All of the politics are done by these wealthy godfather type like families, and they all help raise their own Lazarus or Lazari, or what they are is they raise and breed these super soldiers that are pretty much the protectors of the family that will do everything to keep the family going. And this story, Lazarus, is about Forever Carlyle. She is the Lazarus for the Carlyle family, and she is the Lazarus of title, even though you meet other Lazari throughout. You know, what would be the movie pitch of this? Godfather meets any war movie you've ever seen, meets Terminator, meets forget it, that's boring, there's no pitch. It's just a really great world that Rucka has built. He's got a lot of back matter in it. If you like reading that type of back matter, when I first started getting the book, I tried to slog my way through back matter, but I just said, you know what, let's see if I can enjoy this book without the back matter. I don't need to read 3 or 4 or 5 pages of text. And you know what? You don't have to read it. It's really just made for the people who want to really get down into the dirt on it. It's not necessary. Don't let it scare you off the book at all. I just strongly recommend Lazarus as one of the best books and one of the least seen books based on the circulation that is out today. And it's even a great jumping on point. Get those two preludes. Get those two, issue 27 and 28. Look at that gorgeous art, and then get ready for it to return as a oversized quarterly that hopefully will go on for many quarters to come. I don't want this book to end in the middle of a story. I want him to be able to wrap it up. And so whether he's close to it or not, I order you to buy this book so that he can do what he wants to complete this story, no matter how long it gets. Everyone, have yourself a great month.
Hey, this is James, and I'm recording this. It's September 5th. For the October preview spotlight, which actually is not about previews. It's just, what are we recommending that you guys read out there? What are we enjoying? And I was sitting here thinking about it, mulling it over, because there's 100 different ways you could go on this. You know, I could go to classic stuff that I could pull out of my long box, and what am I reading out of this, my long box? Or I could go to really obscure, weirdo stuff that maybe not be appealing to a lot of people. But what I decided to do, and it made it really easy for me, is on the Slack channel, I'm a part of two different Slack channels, and one is the Collected Comics Library, and the other one is, of course, Comic Book Page, which is my favorite one. But over on Collected Comics Library, some of the guys are sitting there and they're like, we only read trade paperbacks, we only read omnibus, you know, whatever it is. And they were talking, and they were like, can you tell us like current comic series that are good? And there's so many comics that are good, but I wanted to nail, you know, maybe a few. And I listed 12 that I recommend that everyone read. And I tried to pick a few different things from different publishers, some different writers. Some of them are repeats. And I left one off my list, and I'm going to start with that first one. The first one, it's from Boom Studios. I recommend everybody read Black Badge. If you just want some zany fun from Matt Kent, Boy Scouts, Black Ops, cool stuff. It's something that I think you guys will find entertaining. It's not going to be a long, drawn-out story, I don't think. It's ongoing right now, but I could see it ending after 12 issues or so. But it was something that just came out of the blue, and it was really enjoyable for me. And now I'm going to go to my official list. I know Jason from Hawaii has seen this list because he's over there too and kind of commented on my list. And I'm curious if Jason's going to put down A Walk Through Hell by Garth Ennis and Aftershock Comics, because he was recommending that to someone. So I'm waiting to hear what you have to say, Jason. But I'm going to pick, my number one on the list was Venom from Donny Cates. And for that matter, you could also add in Cosmic Ghost Rider. But Venom from Donny Cates. Donny Cates is probably quickly becoming my favorite writer in comics today. He can take anything, literally any character, any concept,
and take it to a new level and make something entertaining or enjoyable that you probably might not have enjoyed before. And a perfect example is Venom. You know, we had all these Venom series coming out because the movie's going to be coming out next year. And I'm just like, okay, I'm not really into this. It's just one Venom miniseries after another Venom miniseries and carnage this, carnage that. Ugh. It wasn't appealing to me. Donny Cates took Venom, made him relevant, made him current. Took a different take on him and the Clintar, a new mythology. And that's why I think they're picking Donnie for this Marvel Knights relaunch. And he made it fun. If you are not reading Donnie Cates' Venom, you are doing a disservice to yourself. Check it out. I know it's from the Big Two, and if you're like, I'm not a Big Two reader, I read Image only. This is one you should really check out. It's a good read. Now, the next one is another mainstream one, Avengers by Jason Aaron. Now, with Jason Aaron, I was torn. Do I go to Thor route? And I thought about the art is killing me on Thor. That's the one thing. So I went with the Avengers route. Jason Aaron has been writing Avengers very well. Some people have had some complaints. I have no complaints. I think he is making an epic story over there. Started off with this big Celestials arc. And I think he's only like five or six issues in. I think it's five issues are out right now. And starting up with issue number 10, it'll be officially the 700th issue of Avengers. I highly recommend you jump on because it is good stuff. You can get caught up early right now. So once again, Jason Aaron, Avengers. The next one that I'm going to recommend is Robert Kirkman, and it is not The Walking Dead. It is Robert Kirkman, Oblivion Song. I like The Walking Dead, but I like Oblivion Song more. Something new, something fresh. It's a little sci-fi take. Kirkman's take on sci-fi. So you take a city or a portion of a city and you displace it into another world where there's creatures and aliens, and you have drama, intrigue. You have people trying to go over to the other side, you know, to warp over to the other side where they've been sent away, trying to rescue people. Those people have been there for years. And they think these people are kidnapping them. They are enjoying their lives there. So you have these internal conflicts, family conflicts, government conflicts, and it's just really good writing, really good story, very intriguing. And Kirkman already has the next 40, 50 issues mapped out in his brain. He's already told us. So this is going to be a long story to come. And I think this is the best of the stories that he is writing right now. Next up, I will go to a DC book, and I'm going to talk about Aquaman. Dan Abnett. There's been one or two issues that I have not enjoyed. Everything else I have enjoyed. I like the Game of Thrones type world intrigue that he has built with Aquaman, dealing with the throne, with Mera, with you know, crowns and conflict. It's been a really good read. The art's been decent. I wish it was still coming out bi-monthly or bi-weekly, I guess it would be. But it's down to a monthly issue, so it's not going to cost you a lot to get on board. And it's something that is a really good read. Dan Abnett doing his thing. So check out Aquaman. Very good. Now, my number five pick is Amazing Spider-Man by Nick Spencer. And a lot of people are going to hem and haw, moan and groan about this one. But Nick Spencer, he's actually writing some good stuff. I don't know how this little split is going to play out, but I've been enjoying it so far. I'm not going to ruin it for you talking about what the split is if you haven't been reading it, but if you haven't been reading Amazing Spider-Man, you need to check it out. Nick Spencer is a good writer, and you have Ryan Otley on the art. Ryan Otley is an amazing artist. He was made for Spider-Man. So I've been enjoying it. I think it's for you guys who had kind of fallen off Spider-Man or because Dan Slott had been on it forever, and then you saw Nick Spencer and you didn't like what he's doing in Captain America. This is not the Captain America Nick Spencer. This is something that will feel new, fresh, and actually really entertaining to you. So I would say give it a try. And I almost went with Fantastic Four, but I went with Amazing Spider-Man instead. Now, the next one that I'm going to give you is from Dark Horse, and this is Jeff Lemire, however you want to pronounce his name, and that is all of his Black Hammer. When I say all of his Black Hammer, he has Black Hammer, the main series, then he has offshoots, and all of them are good. What he has done is Jeff Lemire has taken these Golden Age-esque characters and built a whole mythos and a whole world. He's created his own superhero universe. And he's creating stories based on this, keeping it relevant, more modern. So it's weird. It has a Golden Age feel, but it also has a very modern feel. It's super entertaining. it's superheroes that aren't DC and Marvel. So if you're burned out in DC and Marvel and you like superhero stuff and you're disappointed that Astro City went to quarterly or semi-annual, who knows, graphic novels, check out Jeff Lemire. This is good, good stuff. Okay, my number 7 pick. I'm going to go with another Robert Kirkman. But once again, it is not The Walking Dead. It is not Outcast. No, I'm going with Die, Die, Die. We have no idea how long this book's going to be going on for. We have no idea how many issues. We don't know when it's coming out. It just appears in my box. But I have been enjoying this book. Die, Die, Die is the equivalent of Kirkman's take on Mark Miller, hardcore, graphic, violent, but with actually a better story. And I love it. John was kind of grossed out when we did our review, but even he had to admit it's a good read. So you guys got to check this out. I like the little, the grossed out, you know, bloody, gory stuff. This is right up my alley. Love it, love it, love it. Check out Die, Die, Die. And contact Eric if you weren't able to pick it up from your retailer. Okay, now the next one is going to be an Aftershock comic. And I'm going with Zach Thompson. Zach Thompson has been an up-and-comer. I've been reading everything that he wrote since he came out with a couple sci-fi, I think Eclipse was the first one, a couple sci-fi series over at Image. And this one is called Relay. And John and I did a review of issue number 1. It was good. Issue number 2 was very good. And I am on board for the whole thing. If you guys are not familiar with Aftershock Comics, haven't read anything from them, not familiar with Zach Thompson, yeah, this may be a good thing to check out. It might be a good jumping on point for you. You have a whole society built around colonizing worlds and almost a religious cult fascination, and how these things are dealt with, you know, colonies taking over worlds, and when you meet people and how things you thought they were are not how they actually are. It's deep issues if you read into it, but it's done very... it's done with a lot of wit. He's a very smart writer, Zach Thompson, and the art in this is really good. So I can't recommend enough, check it out, Relay from Aftershock. Okay, my next one is an Image book, and this is from a show writer from Lucifer, which is now, I think, going to Netflix. And the show writer was Joe Henderson, and the book is Skyward. Skyward is an all-ages book, and I do normally don't like the term all-ages because it means all a boring for me. That's just me. I'm an adult. I lead more edgy things. That's just my taste. Skyward is charming, entertaining. I've never been bored with an issue. I don't have to get caught up and remember what happened before. It sticks in my head. And when you take a guy who's reading 200 single issues every month, let's say, which is not probably far off, all those stories get mixed up. For something like this to keep my attention, it's got to be good material. So Skyward is really good material. If you are not reading this book, this is something you really should check out. Okay, on to my next pick, which is going to be another Image book. And this time I'm talking about Kyle Higgins and The Dead Hand. I do not want to ruin this book for you, but what I will tell you is Kyle Higgins, when he first started off with Cowl, that first book I read, I was bored out of my mind. You know, labor union for superheroes, you couldn't write something more boring. I would go on to The Dead Hand. He's become a much better writer. He has some writing chops. This is going to read probably better in trade. I hate saying that because I recommend people pick up single issues to keep the books alive. You need to read single issues. But I've been enjoying it in single issues. Good stuff. The Soviet Union collapses. There's a town in the mountains. They don't know the war's over. They don't know the Cold War's over. That's all I'm going to say. It's really cool. There's a lot of cool things that happen, but if I tell you anything, it's going to give it up too much. It's something with a lot of intrigue, suspense, I guess you could say spy stuff, action-y. Pretty cool. With some nuclear weapons stuff tied in. Okay. Up to my number 11 in my list over there, I had Uber Invasion by Karen Gillan from Avatar. Now, the Uber Invasion is the second volume, I guess. There's multiple volumes in the second one. Uber Invasion's up to like issue, I'm guessing now, because I'm not reading it or looking at it, probably the 20th issue. But you can pick up Uber and soft cover trades. You can pick up a lot of Uber Invasion and soft cover trades. Contact Eric. He'll give you a heck of a deal on it. The guys at Cowabunga, that is Eric. Uber is about an alternative history on World War II. What if, you know, closer to the end of the war, when the Axis powers started to lose, they unleashed superheroes against the Allies? And they had a lot of technology that the Axis powers that the Allies didn't have. They were more advanced. The Nazis came out with jet engines when, you know, we were still using prop planes. They were the first to come out with it. So they're like, they developed the technology to develop superheroes for people that had the capabilities. And Uber Invasion, during the first part, they talk about the war. Uber Invasion is when these Axis superheroes are invading the United States and invading into Russia. So before you think it glorifies fascism, it really doesn't. Kieran Gillen's a writer. The artist is an African-American gentleman. I cannot remember his name. It is strictly an anti-fascist book, but it's a really good read. But I have to put that out there because people will hear Uber and hear about the Axis winning. It's not written to glorify that. It is a really entertaining read. Because it's Avatar, it is very graphic. So there's a disclosure, not for children. Okay, the last one I'm going to recommend for you that you guys should be reading is going to be The Immortal Hulk by Al Ewing or Al Ewing. I've heard it pronounced both ways. I don't know how to pronounce the guy's name. The Immortal Hulk, they had one issue that I really did not like. But other than that one issue, this has been a really good Hulk series. The Hulk is back in the Marvel Universe, and I love the Hulk. He is my favorite character. I've been enjoying the art. The art style is very good. It reminds me of the 70s sometimes, or 80s. And the writing has been on point. I like this more visceral, more, I don't know, angry, animalistic, almost like Hulk out of control, where he's almost like, it reads almost like a horror comic. So if you're a Hulk fan, definitely read The Immortal Hulk. It's really good. And I know Jason, my buddy from Hawaii, he's into The Immortal Hulk too. So he'll probably tell you, I'm waiting to see what he has. It's a good read. Now, the last thing that I'm going to shout out, and you cannot be reading this yet, because it's not out, but I just wanted to mention this. In 2019, Marvel has obtained the license for Conan. Yes, the Robert E. Howard license for Conan. Conan is coming back to Marvel. If you guys do not read Jason Aaron's Conan, I will come across through the radio, through your podcast, and choke the life out of it. No, I'm just kidding. I won't do that. But you need to read Conan. This is going to be good stuff. I love it. It's near and dear to my heart. Jason Aaron said he has waited his whole life to write this stuff. This is what he's dreamed of. Jason's been living his dream. His dream was to write Star Wars. He was a Star Wars fan. And his other favorite thing was Conan. He's writing Conan. So this guy is getting to live his dream. He wrote Star Wars better than any of the writers who've written Star Wars, other than maybe Darth Vader with Kieran Gillen. That was pretty good. And I think he's going to write Conan better than darn near anyone who could write it, other than maybe Kurt Busiek, who's not writing it right now. but I would check it out, and I would also check out those omnibus that are coming out, Conan the Barbarian omnibus, the original Marvel stuff, and the Savage short. So that's another one, just an extra that isn't here, but I would definitely recommend. Well, I'm looking forward to everything you guys have. I want to thank everyone for all of your picks, because it's a little bit of work, you know, recording yourself, looking up things in the previous catalog, but it helps me because sometimes I overlook stuff. Sometimes you guys just saying stuff, I put a lot of maybes on stuff in the previous catalog. I put a little maybe next to it. And if you guys recommend it and I had the maybe there, that's what pushes me over the line. That's what gets me to buy it. So you guys keep your recommendations, because if you don't, I'll be buying less. It'll save me some money. That may hurt the industry a little bit. So keep me buying more. Keep me broke. Okay. Have a good one, you guys. And in November, I look forward to the regular previews, but I'm so interested to see what you guys did this October. Take care.
Hello, this is Alan Bowman in Japan, Alien Al on the forums for my clip in this month's preview spotlight. In going with the theme of what comic or comics would you recommend and why, I'm going to go with Alien Al's top 10 And the reason I chose these 10 comics is because I like the back matter of the comics. Not only are these good comics to read, they have great stories, great art, but these comics also give you a little extra. They have a letter section or pinups or artwork or articles or other things. And now I know some people don't like that. Some people just want to read the story and move on to the next comic. But I feel like if I'm going to pay $3.99, $4.99, $4.99, $5.99 for a comic, that I want some back matter in it. And these comics, these top 10 comics give me my bang for my buck. So I was going to say in no particular order, these are my 10 comics, but actually these are in alphabetical order because in general, that's the way I read my comics. I'll try to keep this to under 10 minutes. So we'll see. All right. Number one is Black Hammer. Actually, I guess it's Black Hammer Age of Doom, or yes, currently. And like I said, I like this comic not only for the story, in which actually I haven't read the first two volumes of Black Hammer. I just started with, I think, the end of the second volume and then the new volume, Age of Doom, and also Quantum Age. I started reading around that time that all of those started. And still enjoying the story. I'm not lost yet, anyway. And I like the fact that there's a letter section at the end, and they've actually printed one of my letters. So you can perhaps sense a theme coming on here. Number two, Black Magic. And Black Magic is the Greg Rucka comic with the Nicola Scott art. Love that. But there's also like another story going on that happened, I guess, it's progressing from like the 1600s to the 1700s or something like that, which is very interesting. And also they have a letter section with a different editor who has, I guess it's actually, they changed editors kind of in the middle of the run there somewhere. And so I'm enjoying his comments, and actually they printed a couple of my letters too. Number three, BPRD. I don't really remember what is the a subtitle for that one, but BPRD does have a nice letter section, and the editor's changed over time, but they're always nice and print my letters occasionally, and so it's always nice to see. I'm enjoying the story. There's a big confrontation now in New York with some demons. Of course, it's Hellboy. And I'm liking it that it seems like it's kind of boiling down to a conclusion of some sort. Number four, Lazarus, another Greg Rucka production. Michael Lark, I think, does most of the art except for Lazarus X plus 66. Not only does Lazarus have a letter section, but it also has an occasional pinup, and he has a book recommendation list, books, novels, or even nonfiction. And he usually talks a little bit about politics or science that is sort of approaching how the world of Lazarus looks at this time. So you can kind of see, well, how maybe the Lazarus world came into effect after all this stuff happened in politics and science in this day. Number five, Love and Rockets. Now, I know this is not many people's cup of tea. The Hernandez brothers, I've been following them since the 80s. I love Jaime's artwork, and I love Gilbert's stories. So, and following the theme, they usually print my letter if I send one, if they have enough space. And yeah, for me, the stories are good. It's just like since the 80s, these characters have grown and changed and have their own families and adopted kids and all kinds of stuff. So it's exciting. Number six, a new one just popped on my list here, Oblivion Song. It's a Kirkman production. I liked the way he answers letters. Usually he answers them in tandem with the editor. And sometimes the letter column titles are quite funny. I think the Oblivion Song one is called Philly Cheese Break instead of, I guess the Oblivion Song is set in Philadelphia. And so it's kind of a play on the Philly cheesesteak sandwich. Number seven, Paper Girls. Brian K. Vaughn. What can I say? This one also has a letter section, which they were kindly enough to print four of my letters. And it also has artwork. And I guess if you want, you can join their ANDG fan club, which is a newspaper delivery guild. And you can get some extras, like a badge or ID card and stuff like that. So, fun. Then he also has, like, yearly, quarterly, like, surveys and asks questions about, you know, like, where were you in 2000? How did you feel about the year 2000? That type of thing. And it kind of goes along with the time jumps the book is taking as the character, the four girls go through time. Number eight, Savage Dragon. Now, I know a lot of people are, once again, this is not everybody's cup of tea. Eric Larson, I don't know, I like the artwork. It's dynamic. It's exciting. Very similar, maybe a little more fluid, less detailed version of Kirby, in a sense. Lots of stuff happens. It moves at a pace, a very fast pace, the story is anyway. And it's quite exciting. You never know what's going to happen. You never know which character is going to die. I mean, the main character of Savage Dragon is really no longer in the comic. It's just a few more different kinds of dragons. Bunch of them, actually. And his policy is basically to print letters as they come in. So if you're reading it, you have stand a good chance to get printed. Number nine, an alternate comic. Tinseltown. This one I don't think many people are picking up. I wrote a letter and got it printed in the second issue, I think. Third issue. And because I actually asked them, I didn't order number two. So if you want to print this letter, please print it in number three, and I'll go back and get number two later, which I did. And finally, number 10, The Walking Dead. Haven't had a letter printed in this one yet, but I love the letter column. Of course, the story is, as usual, just like the TV show, very tense. You don't know what's going to happen next. Haven't seen the zombies too much lately, but I guess they show up every four issues or so. The letter columns are funny though, and I like reading them, and always look forward to the next issue, because even if the story doesn't progress that much, you get a lot more interesting input in the letter section. Honorable mentions would be for Marvel, I would say. I mean, comics that sometimes have back matter or letter sections, Amazing Spider-Man, Avengers, Exiles, X-Men Red. And for DC, used to be Astro City, but, you know, they went to their graphic novel format, so that's gone. But I also like reading, just in general, the Terrifics and Hawkman. Okay, that's all for me this month. On to the next pick.
Hi, my name is Billy Hogan, host of the Superman Fan Podcast, and I go by Superman Fan on the forums. For this change of pace October Previews Spotlight episode, I'd like to share with you six different comic book properties that touch on some of the different genres that I enjoy. I want to begin with a new series. There's only two issues published. It's Hey Kids Comics by Howard Chaykin, who is releasing it through Image Comics. I enjoy history, especially comic book history, and Hey Kids Comics is a fictionalized history, for obvious reasons, of the comic book industry, warts and all. Howard Chaykin is a middle-aged guy like me. He's young enough that his comic book career is going strong, but he's old enough that when he began his career in the early 70s, he met a lot of the old-timers who built the industry and probably heard their stories firsthand. And so learned where a lot of the bodies are buried, so to speak. In fact, one of his mentors was the classic Silver Age artist Gil Kane. So I'm looking forward to seeing how he puts a face on the many people who worked and built the comic book industry, but in a lot of cases, if not most, they never got the proper share of the money that they helped generate. Next, would be the Black Hammer universe, which would include the miniseries Sherlock Frankenstein and the Legion of Evil, and Dr. Star and the Kingdom of Lost Tomorrows, along with the original Black Hammer series and then Black Hammer Age of Doom, along with the new series, The Quantum Age, which is a clear homage to the Legion of Superheroes. It's pretty easy to pick out who the Black Hammer heroes are modeled after. To me, they seem to be homages to a lot of the DC heroes. The strength of the Black Hammer universe is the same as Astro City and Invincible, two other series that I would recommend you get the reprint editions of, which takes the superhero genre in places that Marvel or DC can't or do, because the big two have to be concerned about marketing their characters for movie, TV, other media, and merchandise. So Jeff Lemire and the rest of the creative team are free to take their characters through stories that DC and Marvel never could or would. They create great adventures for each issue, as well as developing each character, which makes you want to go back to read the next issue. Next, I would recommend the Umbrella Academy series. The first two volumes, Apocalypse Suite and Dallas, came out the previous decade, and a new miniseries is coming out called Hotel Oblivion. And there are also going to be a Netflix series coming up. The main characters in Umbrella Academy are kind of superhero related in that they have fantastic abilities, but Gerard Way, the former lead singer of the band My Chemical Romance, and artist Gabriel Ba have a more alternative or underground edge to this story. They take the superhero genre and turn it on its ear. These characters have crazy adventures during which we see they are very flawed human beings, but it makes it appealing. It's not like a traditional superhero punch fest. It has a bit of a science fiction feel to it with a pinch of horror, and this is a perfect series for that. So if you like more of an alternate style of comic book storytelling as opposed to the traditional superhero style, then I would recommend you check out Umbrella Academy. But what kind of a comic book reader would I be if I didn't mention my favorite character of Superman? After all, I do a podcast where I review the Silver Age stories of Superman from the late 50s up to 1970. He's my favorite character, mainly because he's the ultimate immigrant. He has superpowers because he was born on Krypton, and living on Earth gives him fantastic abilities. Yet what makes him the Man of Steel comes from the Midwestern values that his adopted parents instilled in him, which makes it the perfect immigrant story. I'm more excited now than I have been in a very long time about Superman stories. With the New 52, it had a lot of promise, but after the first storylines were finished in action and Superman, DC, instead of building a character, they immediately began to tear him down, having a storyline where he was slowly losing his powers. But with Rebirth, when he brought back the pre-Flashpoint Man of Steel, who's married and now has a superpowered son, things began to turn around. And Brian Michael Bendis has also raised my excitement even more about the Man of Steel's future. I'm not so much familiar with his Marvel work with Ultimate Spider-Man, but I first discovered his work in his creator-owned series Powers, which is kind of a police procedural with a superhero twist, where the main characters are police detectives who investigate crimes involving superheroes as either victims or suspects. One thing that was lacking with the New 52 and at the beginning of Rebirth was the supporting cast of the Daily Planet staff and Clark Kent and what's going on in his personal life. It was a lot of Superman going on to the next villain, and Brian Michael Bendis has returned what my favorite part of Superman stories from back in the 70s and even post-Crisis on Infinite Earths with the reboot in the mid-80s. I enjoy the multiple plot threads that Brian Michael Bendis is weaving through each issue, not just who the bad guys that Superman is fighting against, but some of the struggles that Clark Kent is having as a reporter and some of the stories he's working on. So I think this is a great time to check out Superman if you haven't read him ever or in a long time. Another series I would recommend is Usagi Yojimbo by Stan Sakai, published by Dark Horse Comics. I'm a latecomer to this series. I read maybe one trade paperback, but didn't really get hooked on it until I bought a $1 reprint of the very first issue from Dark Horse Comics. And for whatever reason, that did the trick, and I've read every issue since. It taps into my love of history. In this case, we get a look at feudal Japan with a twist in that the characters are all anthropomorphic animals, but it explores Japanese culture through Usagi's adventures. And the current miniseries, The Hidden, underneath the murder mystery involved, we get a little bit of some of the tension created when the first Christian missionaries were going to Japan and some of the tension it was making in traditional Japanese culture in that feudal era. And finally, I would recommend anything done by Terry Moore. He's most famous for his original series, Strangers in Paradise, but he's also done shorter series, Echo, Rachel Rising, and before bringing back Strangers in Paradise with SIP-25, he did Motor Girl. In Strangers in Paradise 25, which celebrates the 25th anniversary of the beginning of SIP, he introduces characters from other series, kind of creating a Terry Moore universe. His strength is the realistic female characters he both draws and depicts. His women look like real people, not your traditional superheroine with big boobs and tiny waists, and the superpower to be able to turn their waist in almost 180 degrees so you can see their butt and their face at the same time. He knows how to pace a story so that each issue advances the plot in a satisfying rate. And with each first issue of every series he's done, by the time you get to the last page of that first issue, not only has he shown you the challenge the main character or characters will face, he's pulled you in and given you a reason to care what happens to them. If you're looking for a comic book title to give to someone who doesn't like superhero comic books and is really not interested in comic books in general, this might be the series that might appeal to them. Sophisticated storytelling, human characterization worthy of prose, film, or TV. And I want to thank John for providing this forum so that we can share some of the titles that we're excited about. And I can't wait to listen to everyone else's clips and find out what excites them, and maybe find something else I want to put on my comic book reading list.
It's Brawlinator, and I've got a couple of things I want to spotlight for October. The first is, if you have not been reading the ongoing Red Sonja series from Dynamite, I really think you're missing a hidden gem. Now, yes, there's some cheesy predictability about the story sometimes. I mean, any story with evil wizards and time traveling and a metal bikini-clad adventurer is going to get a little cheesy now and again, or cheesecake, however you slice it. But from the very first Zero issue, this series has been a fun romp of a book with a healthy dose of girl power to boot. Outside of the fun, brightly written adventure, this comic's colors and artwork really are an absolute delight. Now, I'm one of those Bronze Age babies that grew up in the 70s reading Conan comics. And Red Sonja just mesmerized me. I've had a thing for feisty redheads ever since. My first wife was a redhead, and she was feisty. I call her my first wife because it didn't work out long term. But I got a great wife now. Anyhow, I digress. When Marvel lost the license several years ago, I checked out what Dynamite was doing, and it started out okay, but it got very politically correct after a while. I tried it, I just couldn't get into it, and actually kind of felt a little preachy sometimes, which is not what I want in my escapist entertainment. But I was very happy to see that Amy Chu and Eric Burnham were taking Red Sonja back to her classic style. This comic series started out with a Zero issue for only a quarter. Dynamite does that sometimes with some of their bigger name licenses, and especially the ones that are going to be ongoing, not a mini series, of course. And so I jumped on, and I was very happy to see what Amy Chu was doing, and now writer Eric Burnham has come on to help Amy Chu with writing chores. Amy was taking Red Sonja back to her classic style, even bringing back the metal bikini, which Gail Simone got rid of. And I was very impressed. It had some nice twists that tend to complicate things, make you want to read the next issue. And again, Carlos Gomez's art is, I mean, he's crushing it. It's very consistent now. At first, it was sometimes a little inconsistent, but man, he's really got a great style. It harkens back to the John Buscema days, with a little bit of Byrne, a little bit of Perez in there. It's a beautiful book. It continues to be some of the best character design of Sonya that I've seen in a long time. And there are great details in both the characters and in the backgrounds. The action is brutal. It's visually stunning. Lots of great facial expressions on the characters. So overall, Red Sonya is a solid win. I think it's a series that everyone should absolutely check out. I've really enjoyed Amy Chu's work from, she did Poison Ivy, Sensation Comics featuring Wonder Woman, even Strange Sports Stories. When she went over to Dynamite, she did a very well-received run on Kiss. But who knew she'd be the right choice for my favorite Hyrkanian warrior? That first story that they did, it was set in the modern day in New York City. It was fun. It was clever. It was well-paced. Obviously, it was a time travel bit they were doing, sort of a fish-out-of-water story. And each issue has been compelling and fun on the whole. Everything works to tell a great story. Very impressive visuals again. Everything from the battle scenes to the close-ups looks amazing. I think it's well worth a read. It's truly been a return to form for the style of Red Sonya by re-injecting some fun into this series after Gail Simone's arguably more gritty run. Which, you know, it was good at times, but, you know, Simone changed the origin and the nature of Sonya in a way that was kind of off-putting for me. I don't usually give high praise to Dynamite books either. They're usually just guilty pleasures for me because they often, as a publisher, I don't think they spend enough money on the art. Mainly, now the covers is another story, but the interior work, I don't think they always hire the best. Their Betty Page books are a very good indicator of what I mean by that. The covers, some of the covers were great, but inside it was just very low rent. For Betty Page. But that's not so with this or the Sheena book. There's a couple of books that Dynamite, I think, invests in good artists. And I hope they've locked Gomez in. He's great. I honestly think he's better than half the artists working for Marvel Comics these days. And that's not, I'm not being hyperbolic at all. I realize that isn't actually saying as much as it used to. I just haven't been feeling it for Marvel much lately. I think DC is probably doing a better job these days. Marvel just really seems like they've lost their way. I hope they'll return to their classic form again. But, you know, there's plenty of other books and independent comics out there to fill up my long boxes. You know, Jason Aaron is doing the upcoming Conan run, so if it can stand up to Chu's Sonya run, they might bring me back to the House of Ideas more frequently. I'm definitely willing to give them a try, and, you know, I hope you'll give Dynamite's Red Sonya a try. It's very good. Check it out. That's Brawlinator again, and can I just say that I love Alterna Comics. They've brought back newsprint paper to their floppies, and while Marvel and DC Comics really don't have any titles with a cover price less than $3.99, most of them are $4.99, they frequently publish books in the $7.99 to $9.99 range. Alterna Comics, though, publishes their books for $1.50. It's unheard of, and it's worth investing a few bucks every month to support them for trying to, what I think, save the comics industry. Peter Cimetti recently was mentioning that the Dollar General stores across the nation were trying to make a deal with him to put his comics in their stores. That's potentially a game changer, or at least, you know, I know that he really seems to emphasize the direct market a lot more and then maybe release books a few months later to the retailers outside of the local comic shops. So I know he really cares about the creators. He really cares about the hobby, the medium, and he really cares about the local comic shops. Content at Alterna Comics, it's all over the map. So they've got something for everybody. The publisher was founded back in 2006. They've produced probably well over 100 titles since that time. They've really gained, I think, the most attention for their modern newsprint initiative, getting comics back on newsstands and getting them out there with affordable cover prices. A lot of people may not know that Alterna is also a creator-owned company with an open-door submissions policy, so their lineup has been an eclectic one over the last 10 years. Last summer, publisher Peter Cimetti not only aimed to replicate the feel of yesteryear's comic books with the paper, but also the pricing. And I think making comics affordable and bringing back the practicality of single issues is a very good thing. Clearly, Alterna is not in the business of making collectibles. They don't do variant covers, or they just do basic comic books. And while they use premium paper stocks in their graphic novels, their newsprint floppies, again, I mean, they're priced anywhere between $1.50 and $1.99. So, and of course, if you're pre-ordering, you're probably getting close to half that price off, or at least 30%. And this is unheard of in an era when Marvel and DC are putting out $5 issues. Matter of fact, Alterna just started with a new $1.99 horror sci-fi fantasy anthology that's an ongoing. It's called It Came Out on a Wednesday. They're also supposed to be introducing a new ICYMI title. It stands for In Case You Missed It. That comic will actually sport a 99-cent cover price, and it will be reprinting some of the all-ages stories from their lineup. And it'll be newsstand distributed, not available through Diamond. I read that comic shops can order directly through them at alternaaccess.com. And, you know, again, they're creator friendly. Creators retain all the IP rights to the merchandise, film, TV, etc. Alterna only owns the publishing and distribution rights of the specific comics and graphic novels that are published by them. So self-published creators can piggyback onto these newsprint runs and get single issues printed for very affordable prices. Alterna just launched their printing partnership program. So any indie and self-published creators can get in there at quantities that start at 500 issues, and the unit per price is like 50 cents a book for a full-color 32-page comic. With a flat fee of like $50 to do the pre-press work, just to make sure that it looks good on newsprint. And then you're paying like $15 to $20 per box of 100 comics, depending on where you're located. So those people listening that are familiar with the costs associated with print on demand, you may want to give this program a shot. There's really no reason not to have something from Alterna on your pull list. Currently, I'm picking up Eden, Wicked Righteous, Tinseltown. They've got a comic out called Psycho Co., Feast or Famine, which is Parallel Dimensions, world-renowned inventors Nikola Tesla, an anthology horror comic called If. I mean, they just got Amazing Age, The 12, Metaphase, which is about a special needs child who wants to be a superhero like their dad. Just really unique, interesting stuff. The art's usually pretty good. There's been one or two that maybe I didn't care for the style. I think Scrimshaw was a little more towards the Bill Sienkiewicz style of artwork, which doesn't always do it for me. But check them out. Again, it's a very low cost, low barrier to entry. And I really appreciate what Alterna Comics is doing for the industry. So I hope you'll support them. That's all my picks for this month, guys. I'll see you guys in November, and I'll check out what you've got to say on this podcast and catch up with everybody in the forum.
Aloha, guys. This is Jason. I just want to recommend two comic book titles that I'm currently reading. One is an ongoing series, and another is a miniseries. The first one is From Aftershock, A Walk Through Hell. Now, first off, I have to give Brawlinator a big shout out for recommending this comic book series back a few months ago. So, Brawlinator, thank you for recommending this series. What it is, it's written by Garth Ennis, and art is by Gorman Suzuka. So, you know, basically it's an FBI police drama with supernatural twists in it. You know, what I love about this series is that it's a slow burn. You know, the story takes its time and it builds up. I've already read issue number 4, and I know the first trade's going to come out probably sometime in either November or December. So again, you know, I love this series. Again, the reason is because it's a slow burn to try to figure out what's going on with FBI agents Shaw and McGregor. To me, Gorman Sudzutka's art is clean. You know, I really like it. It fits the series. So if you guys get a chance, you know, pick up the trade when it comes out. Like I said, I think it comes out in either November or December. Now, the second comic title I'm going to recommend, it's from Dark Horse, and it's a miniseries. And I have to give a shout-out to Drew. Drew, thank you very much for recommending this miniseries. It's from Dark Horse. It's part of the Karen Berger line. It's called She Could Fly. It's written by Christopher Cantwell. And if I remember correctly, I believe he was the creator of Halt and Catch Fire. And art is by Martin Morazzo. You know, the first issue is already, you know, as of this recording, there's only been two issues of the miniseries that came out. The first issue, it was pretty wild. You know, it was a lot of bizarre things going on in there. But basically, it's about a story about a high school girl that's, you know, trying to, you know, fit in. She's kind of an oddball. And, you know, then she sees in the news reports about this woman that could fly. And then all of a sudden, it becomes an obsession with her to, you know, find out more about this woman. So like I said, the first issue, it's pretty out there. But the second issue that I just read, the story starts to tighten up a little bit more. I guess there's some agency that helped this, you know, woman able to fly, you know, so that starts getting to tie in. And like I said, the story's getting a little bit more grounded. So, you know, that's what's intriguing me. And it's like, I'm waiting for issue number 3 to come out to find out what's going on. The art by Martin Morazzo, you know, it kind of reminds me a little bit of Frank Quitely's art style. And it's an art style that I really like. And I really think it fits this book. So if you guys get a chance, you know, when the trade comes out, pick up She Can Fly by Dark Horse. And lastly, you know, I want to thank John. John, thank you very much, you know, for, you know, doing the preview spotlight episode. Thank you very much. Thank you for all your hard work in, you know, letting us, send in clips every month, you know, and be able to share the comics that we love with one another. So John, thank you very much for all your hard work, in putting all these together. So thank you, John. So until next time, guys, aloha.
This is Dr. Mo here to share some of the titles that I'm currently purchasing and enjoy reading. First up, Doomsday Clock, written by Jeff Johns, art provided by Gary Frank, published by DC Comics. Doomsday Clock makes this list, frankly, because A, the creative team and the subject matter. I've enjoyed a number of Jeff Johns' past works at DC Comics, dating back to his runs on JSA, Teen Titans, The Flash, his work on Legion of Three Worlds. Doomsday Clock is a very different animal for Jeff Johns. It's allowing Jeff Johns to stretch his muscles in a way that we usually don't get to see. For instance, Jeff Johns is really deconstructing characters, whether it's Ozymandias or the new Rorschach, and the two new villain characters that he's introduced. I'm okay with the slow pace of the series. I do wish that it would come out more frequently, but I'm okay getting it when it comes out, as long as it's not 2020 before we get the full story. Aiding Jeff Johns in this endeavor is artist Gary Frank. The two have collaborated for a number of years now, going back to Jeff Johns' run on Action Comics. Doomsday Clock is not for DC fans who are looking for the traditional capes and cowls what we're getting in a lot of different series. I think this is for DC Comics readers who are fairly well versed in DC Comics lore and who enjoy titles that kind of walk that tightrope between traditional DC superhero titles and Vertigo titles. Stuff that we got back in the late 80s and the early 90s to include titles such as Starman. My second pick, or recommendation rather, is Quantum Age from the world of Black Hammer, published by Dark Horse Comics. This title is written by Jeff Lemire and drawn by Wilfredo Torres. As of this recording, I've read the first two issues of Quantum Age. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. It really reminds me of the 5 years later version of Legion of Superheroes. As a Legion of Superheroes fan, I was immediately drawn to these analogs when I first heard about them and read the free comic book day issue that Dark Horse put out. In terms of the plot points, there's a lot of overlap with 5 years later Legion and even contemporary politics, things such as xenophobia and so forth, the deconstruction of a superhero team, the various team members trying to figure out their lives post being part of a superhero team. I think Jeff Lemire's knowledge of Legion lore, his love of the franchise is infused throughout the series. He's aided in this by artist Wilfredo Torres. Torres's art style very much reminds you of me, or me at least, of Chris Sprouse and possibly a little Jason Pearson, two artists who contributed to the 5 years later run of Legion and its spinoff titles such as Legionnaires. When the Quantum Age was initially launched, it was a miniseries, but since then I believe it's been upgraded to a ongoing series, which hopefully that is the case. Whether it's a mini, whether it's an ongoing, I'm in for the long haul. If you're a Legion fan, you're looking for something to kind of tide you over until Legion returns, you can't go wrong with Quantum Age. I am enjoying DC Comics' The Wildstorm, written by Warren Ellis and art been provided by John Davis Hunt. The Wildstorm is Warren Ellis's reimagining of Jim Lee's classic 1990s creations, Wildcats, Gen 13, Storm Watch, and Warren Ellis is putting another spin on a series that he worked on for the Wildstorm universe in the late 1990s, early 2000s, The Authority. Why does this book work for me? Warren Ellis is really going out of his way to reinterpret a number of these characters. Some of these characters have different gender identities than what they previously had, different ethnicities. I think Warren Ellis is really taking some time to let the readers get to know the characters. The characters have personalities, previous iterations. I think that was one of the things that a number of these characters kind of lacked. There's a bit of some Watchmen-esque stuff going on in here, particularly with the artwork provided by John Davis Hunt. He likes to employ the 9-panel grid, and there have been some panels where he's done like 18 to 20 panels on a page. It's beautiful looking stuff. John Davis Hunt's artwork reminds you of Frank Quitely. It's not what I would call traditional superhero art. It very much has a 2000 AD influence and a European style, but it totally fits what Warren Ellis is doing. Personally, I think this is Warren Ellis's best work right now. Hop on board. The Wildstorms, published by DC Comics. One final title that I'm currently reading and enjoying, it is Ed Piskor's X-Men Grand Design, published by Marvel Comics. Ed Piskor's X-Men Grand Design is a grand undertaking indeed. It is his interpretation of X-Men lore. Piskor is starts the series by looking at X-Men history prior to the formation of the team. And Piskor does a really good job of reinterpreting the original material that Stan Lee and Jack Kirby came up with, mixing it with various comics that have been published over the decades that kind of filled in the backstory of various X-Men characters such as Xavier or Wolverine or whatnot they were doing prior to joining the team. And then Piskor takes a very deep dive into Claremont's decade and a half working on X-Men, interpreting what Claremont's doing, kind of condensing, and I mean really condensing, the large body of work that Chris Claremont produced, and to create a narrative that can be shared in essentially 40-some page chunks. Pisker is releasing these in two-issue installments approximately every 7 to 8 months. The series will last 6 issues in total. Based on what I've read in interviews from Ed Pisker, he will end the series when Claremont first leaves the X-Men title. So he's essentially interpreting X-Men stories going up until about 1991. Curious to see. He's got 2 more issues to go. Really curious to see how he interprets some of the Jim Lee storylines, such as Extinction Agenda, the Lady Mandarin storyline, which will be very interesting in light of recent changes to Psylocke's character. If you're a hardcore X-Men fan, I think this is a fun book. I think his interpretation of some stories really worked for me, and I think there's some that didn't work for me, but I think it is an interesting artifact, and I think it is something that when it's all said and done could possibly be a very nice book for X-Men completists.
Hey John, this is Nick Fenner with my recording for the October previews spotlight, and for our freeform discussion of titles that we're enjoying reading, I chose to give a top 10 list of titles that I enjoy whenever they come out, if they don't come out every month, or whether they come out every other week. And in this case, I'm going to start that list with Action Comics and Superman. Both of those titles always follow, of course, the action and adventures and family drama of Superman and Clark Kent. And it's always just fun to see where that character goes and what the writers choose to do with him. Second on my list is Super Sons, or Adventures of the Super Sons, as it's currently coming out. And it's fun just to see how Damian Wayne and Jonathan Kent interact. They always get into trouble and think that they're doing something really great or really exciting. And it's funny just to see how their small actions in a big world are reacted to and how they have fun with it. The third title on that list, East of West, and this is definitely one of those titles that comes out maybe every other month or so, and I know it's gradually winding down towards its end of the story, written by Jonathan Hickman with fantastic art by Nick Jurgata, and it's just a story about a post-apocalypse type scenario in an alternate history with all sorts of various strange characters and factions, and you've got Death, his son, other riders or four horsemen of the apocalypse are characters in there, and all of the personalities are way over the top, and it's fun to see them interact. And like I said, that Nick Jurgata art is definitely a drawing factor for this series. Fourth on the list, Batman and Detective Comics. Again, for these, this is where you follow the goings-on of Batman every month, and DC always puts their top talent on those titles, so it's fun not only to read the stories, but see the art and witness Batman interacting with his crazy suite of villains. Fifth on my list is the James Bond series of comics and miniseries, which come out from Dynamite Entertainment every month. And these are basically action movies stretched out over, like I said, a mini-series or maxi-series. The content is usually oriented a little towards the books about James Bond and that sort of characterization of his character versus maybe what you always see in the movie. But they're fun. They take place in different places around the world with all sorts of, like I said, great action sequences. Sixth on my list is Archie. Started reading Archie comics when the 2012 sort of modernization or reboot of the comics occurred with Mark Waid at the helm. It's about to undergo a changeover of creative teams. I believe Nick Spencer is coming on board for issue number 700 going forward. But it's been interesting just to see sort of this modern take on those characters and their environment of Riverdale and how all those characters interact. Interesting teen drama, to say the least. Number 7 on my list is Aquaman. I just enjoy reading this character, and of late, all of the challenges to the throne and scenarios going on there have been interesting to read about. And since about issue number 25, they've been mixing in some really great artists for most of the issues, and that's always fun to see. Number 8, Deathstroke. If you want to read the family drama of a anti-hero or villain, Deathstroke is definitely the issue, the series for that. Every issue is broken up into many different storylines. Christopher Priest writes that. Good rotation of artists if you want typical DC house-style comic art done well. Number 9 on my list, Exo Man of War from Valiant Entertainment. This is my one go-to series at Valiant. The storylines are pretty easy to follow. It doesn't often get tangled up into other things going on in the universe right now, at least. And the characters, at times, whether it's off-planet or in the past, you just get to witness an action hero doing action hero things, teaming up with people, taking down bad leaders, dealing with aliens, all of that kind of thing. And the last one on my list, it's not an ongoing title of weekly or monthly comic books in the floppy format, but it's the series of omnibus collections that come out from DC. They're golden, silver, or bronze age omnibuses, which collect whole runs of characters from various points in time of their history, whether it's Batman the Golden Age, Green Lantern the Silver Age. I believe they've just come out with some for Swamp Thing and the Teen Titans for various points in history. So if you're really curious, or you remember a previous age, or you just want to go read some of the early collections on certain characters, that's the place to do it. And that will bring to a conclusion my list of ongoing titles that I really enjoy reading from month to month, or whenever they happen to come out, from Nick's Picks on the Forum at the comic book page. This is my October selections. And John, I hope you do enjoy your vacation, and hopefully this format works out in the future, where maybe you can wrap in an alternate way for people to present some of the series that they enjoy reading. All right, enjoy.
What comics should people be reading and why? On the surface, sounds like a really simple question to answer, but I find those sorts of questions really kind of hard to answer myself. I went through my list of what I've been reading and such, and whittled it down to about, actually half a dozen exactly, titles that are still coming out, which knocked one or two things out, that I'm finding very enjoyable, and I don't think are probably on a lot of people's reading list, and therefore I think are good suggestions to have. Now, I'm going to go through them in alphabetical order, because that's the order I've got them in. There is no real ranking or whatever here. But just starting at the beginning, my first title is Hawkman. It's 3 issues in. Normally I wait a little longer to recommend a title, just to let it get its legs under it and such, but I've really been enjoying this exploration of Hawkman's past. They're kind of expanding some previously established aspects of his history of the reincarnation and stuff, and including it towards time and space, which I think is a very interesting twist. And I'm looking forward to, like, when he becomes whoever he was on Krypton and such, that they had teased in the first issue. Hawkman's one of those characters that they've tried to do a title many, many times in the past, and this is a new, different, and interesting take, so I hope it catches on. My next title I don't think is going to be of any surprise to you all. It's Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Normally I wouldn't recommend a title right as they're kind of switching creative teams and such, but they have taken what can be admittedly a fairly silly kind of TV show and done it as if it's a straight comic book superhero team. And they've done a great job with that. And I'm not expecting that to change radically with the new creative team. There will be some changes, some of them even radical, in terms of what's happening in the titles. But I think the tone, the style, and the approach to it hopefully will remain the same. Even if you're not a fan of the Power Rangers TV show, they've done a really good job in the comics, and I'm expecting that to continue, and I think it's worth checking out. Obviously, I've talked a lot about the Shattered Grid storyline of late that they've been doing the last 6 or so months. While it's not necessarily a great jumping on point, it was a really great epic event saga for the Power Rangers, and something that within the Power Ranger fandom has been well received. My next one is Rivers of London. This is something that I think it was either last year or the year before when we had to pick a few things that were not Marvel and DC to round out the episodes for the weekly comic spotlight during Comic-Con. We picked that. I think it was Rivers of London Detective Stories, and I really enjoyed it. It's got just a great art style, very solid writing, and it's written by the author of the novels that it kind of spins out of or connects to, and it's been doing well enough that it's getting an ongoing title. The basic premise here is a branch of the Metropolitan Police in London that investigates magical crimes, or crimes involving magic. So it's got a little bit of that, you know, what goes bump in the night kind of aspect or whatever. Anything that a regular cop just isn't equipped to handle gets funneled to these guys. It's interesting, it's different, and it's a lot of fun. It's a good mix of kind of the supernatural and the police procedural. My next pick is Scooby-Doo Team-Up. This is one that I got on when one of the listeners, or actually I think more than one of the listeners, mentioned it as a title people should be reading in the yearly comic spotlight about 2, maybe 3 years ago now. Everybody knows who Scooby-Doo is. This is a team-up where he is, and the Scooby gang is teaming up with either other classic cartoon characters or various DC Universe characters done in the style of Saturday morning cartoons. And they've had just I love those issues the best when they're doing the DC crossovers. They had one that had, you know, the Challengers of the Unknown, another one that had the Justice Society or the Legion of Superheroes or whatever. It's a lot of fun. It's a Saturday morning cartoon version of those classic characters. They even did one where it was the Green Arrow, Green Lantern, Hard-Traveling Heroes era version of those characters in a Saturday morning venue kind of style. It was brilliant. It's a good kind of, I guess, palate cleanser or whatever. You're not going to confuse it with any of your other books. It's done as 2 digital installments and in 1 physical comic book. So in the comic, you get a very good done-in-one story with a lead-up to the mystery, a cliffhanger, and then the resolution of it. It's a lot of fun. And because it's done in one, you can jump in and out at any point, depending if the guest star suits your taste or not. My next pick is Uncle Scrooge. This is a Disney classic character that's been having stories told for just decades. And it's fun because you've got the millionaire or billionaire Uncle Scrooge, who's just this penny-pinching miser, but in a good-ish way. And he gets into various adventures with his nephew Donald and Huey, Dewey, and Louie. And there's a good adventure side to that, but there's also a bit of a morality play of, you know, don't get too penny-pinching and too money-hungry or whatever, but, you know, there's a aspect where sometimes Scrooge is in the right and sometimes he's in the wrong. It's an interesting look at the character in a very classic way, and these are sometimes done in one story, sometimes there's multiple stories per issue, sometimes a story spills over multiple issues, and it's something different than everything else I'm reading, and I enjoy that aspect of it. It's well done. It's some classic stories, some of new vintage, some of older vintage. And this is a comic series that actually my uncle had read when he was younger and enjoyed it. And I never really kind of got into it until I think it went to Boom and I sampled it, and I really enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. So if you haven't tried it, it's worth checking out. Try to find a good done-in-one kind of or jumping-on point. In other words, read the solicit every month, and if you see one that looks interesting, give it a chance, see what you think. Another one that I got on board far too late on, and if I could go and change some comic purchase decisions I'd made when I was younger, this is one of them that I would have jumped on board very early on, as soon as I knew about it sort of a thing, which I think would have been within the first year or two. And that's Usagi Yojimbo. As it turns out, I didn't get on board on this until issue 116 a couple of years ago. It is an anthropomorphic tale of a Ronin bunny, or rabbit, in the Edo-era Japan, and the adventures he gets into. The current one is a 7-issue miniseries that's a murder mystery that's just a lot of fun. And then the regular ongoing title tends to be a bit more action-oriented, but it is very much an all-ages thing that, while he may be killing, you know, bandits or whatever, it's not done in the least bit of a gory way. It's a almost a Saturday morning animated sort of thing, where you get the idea that, yeah, they died, because you get a little, you know, skull and crossbones kind of image, but it's not horrific or anything. And those things only happen when he kind of has no choice, because it's a Ronin who's got a very strict set of ethics and morals and honor and such. And I like it because it's a good action-adventure story. It's set in historic Japan, and getting just a sense of that culture, that style, and whatnot is a lot of fun. So there are a lot of other titles I'm reading and whatnot. Many of them I think you all are aware of or getting. I think you all are probably aware of all of these, because I think I've talked about them at times over the weekly comic spotlight and whatnot. But these are the ones that jump to my mind as what people should be reading and kind of why they should be reading them. And again, I try to focus on ones that I thought were less likely to be on people's reading list already. So hopefully that helped you guys out. Hopefully you enjoyed them. And let me know if you try them out and what you think of them. And if they're not for you, that's fine. Explain why. The whole point of these preview spotlight episodes every month is to help match people with the titles they're going to enjoy. Everybody has different tastes, and every comic is for a different audience, so just trying to match the audience with the comic, that's the whole goal here. So, like I said, hopefully this helped.
Hey John, this is Nick Fenner with a special shout-out this month for the monthly preview spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. And I'd highly encourage anybody who loves listening to this program each and every month, getting their suggestions and hearing discussions from all of the contributors for what to pick up each month. Give a shot at recording a previews clip for next month. It's pretty easy. Just pull out your phone, find the recording app, record something for 20, 30 seconds or a minute or two, and send it along. And it really will, I think, add to your comics reading experience as you give recommendations to other avid readers and listeners of the podcast.
I want to start by thanking Nick for that clip there, requesting clips. He had noticed, as I had noticed, that we're getting the same couple of people every month, which I appreciate those guys sending in stuff every time, but I, again, want to kind of branch out, get some more people and stuff, because we've had a few people that have fallen by the wayside. Life's gotten in the way, or they've lost interest in sending in clips, or whatever. It's fine, it happens, but for that to happen, we need other people to be submitting clips every month. We've got an open submission policy. Our normal format is to basically start at the beginning of previews, work our way from front to back, diving into the DC and Marvel previews where they kind of would fit in the main previews. And then people are just highlighting, hey, on this page, there's this item. I think you should get it for this reason. I think it's, again, such a challenge to find what's right for you every month that doing these episodes is my attempt to help out on that. But to do that, I need listener participation. If you're a listener, if you're a podcaster, if you're a writer, artist, other creator, if you're an editor, a publisher, whatever your connection to comics is, you're welcome to submit. If you're a retailer, whatever. The idea is to share your love of comics, to get people interested in the books you think they should be buying, and sell people on buying those books. Now, hopefully everybody enjoyed this kind of change of pace episode. We had to do it because it was either that or not do a preview spotlight. And again, I find these episodes valuable, so I wanted to not skip a month. And I'm traveling between the time previews came out and the time this episode goes up, so this is the format we went with. Again, I appreciate everybody for sending in clips, so thank you Alan, Billy, Chris, James, Jason, Nicholas, and Todd for sending in clips. This would have been a much, much shorter episode without y'all. And next month, again, we're going back to the regular format. We have an open submission policy. If you have not sent in a clip before, as Nicholas was just saying, it's not hard to do. app on your smartphone, record for a few minutes, email it to me with the share option. It's really easy. And it's a lot of fun, and it's a great way to make sure the comics you're interested in will continue. Now, the next Comic Book Page teleconference is not going to be in October because I'm traveling at this point and unavailable. The next previews is going to get released, I believe, on Halloween, October 31st. That means the deadline for the next preview spotlight will be Saturday morning, November 10th. That is Saturday morning whenever I get up and start working on it. If you get the clips in early, that really helps. And if you're going to send in clips, please post on the forum what clips you're planning on sending in, just so I know what to expect. I can budget my time and I make sure I don't miss any clips. And then the teleconference after that will be Saturday, November 17th at 7 p.m. Central Time. We hop on Skype, we talk about comics, movies, TV, whatever else comes up. It's a lot of fun, and I hope you can join us for that. So with that, we'll call it an episode.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.